I would like to call to order the February 2nd, 2022 Technical Advisory Committee meeting. The Palm Beach TPA is conducting this meeting both in person and virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. Instruction to join the virtual meeting as well as contact information for assistance are provided in the published meeting agenda. Staff, please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
At this time, I'm only asking those TAC members attending in person to respond by saying "here" when I call your name. I want to remind you to push the button on your microphones. When it's right on top, it means you're on and we can hear you on the recording. Alternates, please also state your name if you're attending on behalf of a TAC representative. Jim Bell.
Here.
Maria Sahara.
Here.
Gary Dunmire. Richard Pereira.
Here.
Kenny Wilson.
Here.
Thomas Driscoll. Jamie Brown. He is here, Madam Chair, but I know he just walked out. Natalie Crowley.
Here.
Kim Glass-Castro. And Aramis is here for Kim. Gary Sipek.
Will Hicks for Gary Sipek.
Brian Davis.
Jorge Perez for Brian Davis.
Levi McCollum.
Anna Velasco for Levi McCollum.
Aaron Hoffman is excused. Terrence Bailey. Christopher Marsh. Joyce Kai.
Yeah.
Lorraine Cargill.
Vicki Gatanis for Lorraine Cargill.
Kim Delaney. Michael O'Dell.
Here.
Alex Hansen.
Here.
Javier Falcone.
Here.
John Crane.
Here.
Mota Samalturk. Kara Ferris.
Here.
We have a quorum in person, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is modifications to the agenda. Staff, are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have a few TAC members that have requested permission to participate remotely. I have Melissa Ackhart from Palm Beach County Engineering, who is Mo's alternate. She noted the county is still limiting in-person meeting allowance and has requested virtual attendance. Joyce Kai from the school district, they are still experiencing staff shortages and she is required to stay in the office at this time. So she's again asking for remote participation. I also have that Terrence joined remotely. He didn't provide me a reasoning for the remote participation. And I don't know, okay, I was able to promote him so he could. Terrence, are you available?
Yes, I am. The same as the previous two government, we're restricting meeting access in Riviera Beach.
Okay. Thank you.
That's everyone?
That was all. Just those three.
Okay, TAC members, are there any objections to allowing these members to participate remotely? No. I'm not hearing or seeing any objections. These members are approved to participate remotely. Margie, please note their attendance in the minutes.
Yes, Madam Chair.
The next item is the minutes for December 1st, 2021. Are there any changes to the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair. I had Brian Davis request a revision to the minutes and I did bring them up on the screen so all the TAC members could see them. Under the Atlantic Avenue project item, he did request that we add a sentence or two sentences, one that noted the existing slash identified ultimate right-of-ways may be inadequate as they did not anticipate, nor do they accommodate complete streets. And this will be an ongoing topic for all to deal with. And John Crane acknowledged Brian's observance and agreed that it was a significant issue. And that was the only change that I received via email.
Okay, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as modified?
I move a motion to approve the minutes as revised.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion by Maria and a second by Alex. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Thank you. Next item, general public comments and public comments on agenda items. As a reminder, there are three ways to provide public comment for this meeting. Written comments may be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments may be made by virtual attendee using the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform. Verbal and written comments may be provided by an in-person attendee submitting a comment card available at the welcome table. Staff, have any general comments been received?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Next item. Comments from the chair and chair members. Moving forward, I think a lot of times we get a lot of information ahead of time, and just encouraging people to take advantage of staff offering their time to address any concerns or issues that you have ahead of the meeting as best as you can. So at this time, I want to invite any TAC member comments on items not already on the agenda. For members participating, please utilize the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform and then remember to unmute your microphone once you're recognized. If you're in-house, we are raising the cards for comment. Any raised hands?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, next I'd like to invite Connor to provide an update for the TAC liaison report.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everybody. I have quite a few items for you today. First off, FHWA is seeking agencies to participate in a safe system pilot project, which would be a review of an existing or proposed project, policies or procedures with a safe systems lens. The application deadline for that is February 11th, and for more information, there is a link in the report. The next TPA board meeting will be held February 17th at 9 a.m., both in person and virtually. To view the agenda packet and meeting details, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/board. And to watch the meeting, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/live. The 2022 Safe Street Summit will be taking place in Miami on February 17th and 18th. This year's theme is Resilient and Adaptive Streets. For more information and to register, you can visit safestreetsummit.org. And I hope to see you all there. The TPA administers three annual competitive grant programs for the funding of projects located within Palm Beach County. This year's application deadline is February 18th. And for more information on that, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/funding. Next, the LCB, which focuses on the needs of Palm Beach County's transportation disadvantaged population, is seeking a representative for children at risk. For more information or to apply, you can contact Alyssa Frank at the email address in the report. Next, the TPA is hosting a hybrid public workshop for the PalmTran connection service on February 23rd at 3:30 p.m., and this will be directly after the LCB quarterly meeting. For more information on that, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/LCB. The TPA is hosting a webinar with our political advocacy experts, Holland and Knight, on March 1st at 1 p.m. I do not have the date on that. Is that the date?
March 1st.
Oh, at 2 p.m. Okay, sorry, I had the date, not the time. So March 1st at 2 p.m. To learn more about transportation impacts to the infrastructure law, how it can be implemented, and how to apply for funding. To register, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/infrastructure-law. USDOT announced a $1.5 billion for the upcoming 2022 RISE grant program. The applications are due April 14th, 2022. And for more information on that, you can visit the transportation.gov website. Next, the National League of Cities has launched a Safety First Challenge to build a coalition of more than 100 plus cities and towns who want to join a safety movement by taking steps in their community. For more information on that, you can visit the link in the agenda packet. The next two items are about some surveys. So the TPA has not received completed media releases from all committee members. These forms will help the TPA create photos and video highlights of work and accomplishments from the committee outside of regularly scheduled meetings. The form can be downloaded from palmbeachtpa.org/media release form. And when you complete it, you can email it to Amanda Williams, and her email is in the liaison report. The TPA has also not received all committee member responses to its census. This data will assist the TPA in tracking committee diversity in accordance with state statute. To take the survey, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/TPA-committee-census. I do have two other items that aren't in the liaison report. They were just kind of added on at the end. One was that a Vision Zero resolution was passed last night at the Delray Beach Commission meeting, which is very exciting. And then the last one is that FDOT sent out a list of potential roadway resurfacing projects for its fiscal year 2027. And is seeking input from the municipalities that have those projects in it. So we did send out an email, I believe, last week to those municipalities as well as the county for input. But if you're interested, you could always email me and I can send you that email and the list of projects. And with that, that is the end of my liaison report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair. And just a quick note, if you do see a media release form on your table, it means that we haven't received it from you. So if you don't have one, you've already completed it and returned it to staff.
Thank you. Do any committee members have any comments or questions on the liaison report? I don't see any cards raised. Move on to the next item, two action items. The first is a motion to recommend adoption of amendment number 3 to the TPA's fiscal year 22-26 transportation improvement program TIP. I'd like to invite Jason Price, TPA TIP coordinator, to present this item.
Good morning, everyone. So today I'll be presenting amendment number 3 to the Transportation Improvement Program for fiscal year 23-26. This amendment includes a total of seven projects, the deletion of one project at the request of the Town of Jupiter, and the addition of 6 new projects at the request of FDOT. Now, in this particular case, when a TIP is required for this particular amendment, there is an addition and deletion of project. So that's what's warning the TIP amendment today. There's also other reasons that I discuss usually and go through, but for this, the one that's applicable here today is the addition or deletion of a project. And as always, only the projects that I present today that you'll take action on today as a committee will be impacted, and no other project in the TIP document itself will be impacted. So to cover the first project is Indian Town Road from US 1 to A1A. And this project is being deleted from the TIP document at the request of the Town of Jupiter. And the Town Council had expressed concern over the overlapping schedule with this project and the US 1 bridge reconstruction detour. The concern was having both of these projects happening concurrently and the risk of there being any delays in this project that would extend the bridge detour, negatively impacting traffic. And so they chose to not award the construction contract, and therefore we're moving ahead with deleting the project from the TIP document. Now the second project here is a new project at the request of DOT. And this project is a safety project with funds for design for wrong way driving detection at high priority locations along I-95. And those high priority locations are listed at the bottom of the screen here along I-95 at specific directions for High Paluxo Road, Linton Boulevard, 45th Street, North Lake Boulevard, Palm Beach International Airport, Atlantic Avenue, the Belvedere Road signal, and lastly, 10th Avenue North. The last is a collection of transit projects at the being added to the TIP as well at the request of FDOT. And These particular projects are being funded through Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act and American Rescue Plan Act funding. So those two funding sources have provided the funding for the addition of these projects, and the five projects listed provide capital assistance to purchase transit vehicles or equipment for the May Volin Senior Center, as well as operating funds for the May Volin Senior Center and Mactown. That's the total of all of the projects being considered here as part of this amendment. And if there's any questions, or I can answer them at this time.
A couple of questions. The first one with regards to the Indian Town project that is being deleted from the TIP. I see that it is a local initiatives project from 2017, and I'm trying to determine how much was the local initiatives portion. Was it 1.3? Am I reading it correctly? The amount that that.
Yes, that's correct.
My question would be, what happened with those funds now? Is there are they going to be lost, or is there a possibility to transfer those funds to other bicycle, pedestrian, multimodal projects that maybe are in need of additional funds?
Yes. So we've been in discussion with FDOT, and as we delete this project, it takes a bit of time as I'm learning to first retract the project from the TIP. So it'll go to the board. If that's approved, then this project will be removed, and then FDOT will take back the project, unencumber the funds. And then I think it takes a few months for all this to transpire, and then those funds will then become available. And because it's in, let's see, it straddles 2 years, 22 and 23, we'll work with DOT to find priority projects, other local initiative projects or priority projects for the TPA to apply those funds on. And they've identified a few projects, but we'll have to wait to see how the timing works out when the actual funds become available to apply them to other projects. And at that time, I'll probably know more. But at this point, I just know that it'll take a few months to unencumber the funds for them to be released from this project to then be able to be applied to another project, a similar project. So they don't get lost. They will be reprioritized. But where, I'm not exactly sure. But
it'll be within Palm Beach County for a bicycle pedestrian project or a multimodal project in Palm Beach, within Palm Beach County.
Absolutely, yes.
My second question, I was just curious. So I thought there were 9 locations where the I-95 runway detection systems are being proposed. I was just curious, is there specific reason for those locations? I mean, was it the design of the road in that area? I just wasn't sure how those 9 locations were determined. Just curious.
John Crane might be able to answer that.
Yeah, so at the statewide level, wrong way driving is one of our safety initiatives. And so we've developed a master plan of all the interchanges in our district that don't have that treatment and that may be experiencing the potential for wrong way entry onto these ramps. So we went and prepared that list a while back. And so now we're moving forward with that safety initiative, and these were on the list to be dealt with. So
Are there any more in Palm Beach County that you foresee will receive the same treatment, or are the other entrances to I-95 or interchanges to I-95 that do not have it? I mean, there's no concern because of the design of those ones. I'm just curious.
That I can't answer, but we can look into that. I can let you know.
Okay. Thanks. I'm sorry, Maria. Before we get to your comment, I'm going to have to ask staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right. Then before we look for a motion, Maria?
Yes, I have a quick question. You mentioned that this project was deleted because of a conflict with other construction projects. why wasn't the project rescheduled?
I believe they may have discussed that, but the reconstruction of the bridge, the detour for the bridge, is a multi-year effort. And so it wouldn't be as easy as just delaying this project a single year. And I don't think they're able to do that because it's usually, what I'm understanding is when you try to delay or move a project, you usually have to find an equivalent replacement project to fill the gap in the work program. So when you take something out of a specific year, you have to fill it with something of similar funding amounts in order to keep the work program whole. So we would have to find a project several years out in order to move this project several years out after the bridge construction project, say 2 or 3 years or 3 or 4 years of the same amount of funds. And those funds have to be applicable to this type of project in order to find a slot in say 25 for this project to fit. And then a new project, and then an existing project that could take the place of this project in the current year that the funding is being applied to. And it's pretty late in the game, you know, in terms of programming construction funds to have a project that's in need of this amount of funds this soon to absorb these funds. And so that's kind of how it works out.
Okay, so if the project wanted to move up to, if this project is going to be executed later on, they will have to again apply for the grant?
Yes, it'll be removed and then they will reapply through either local initiatives or some other, one of the other grant programs, and then, yeah, start the process over.
Okay. Thank you.
Natalie?
Thanks. My question was similar to Maria's, where I was just curious, you know, why the deletion and not the postponement, because it seems like it's a great project to advance mobility, and it's in an area where you just have a lot of pedestrian traffic. It seems that from the town of Jupiter that there was a recommendation from staff, but ultimately it was the council's decision. And I guess I'd be curious to hear from the town of Jupiter if there was any discussion, because it wasn't clear in the letter, if there was a willingness or an interest to still in the future move forward with this project, which is a great project. And I don't know if CJ wants to chime in, but is it Jupiter's intention, or can you speak to Jupiter's intention in the future to see if there's an intention to move forward or bring this project back again sometime in the near future?
Yeah, I think the major reason is just like a conference on the, they say that the council decision and try not to overlap in such a long project with the US bridge placement. And the town, if deemed is necessary for the to revert the project back, they would reapply. That's based on my understanding. And there's another factor play into it. I could not disclose right now, but yes, the cow should be back.
That's good to hear. my other question was just, it was more, I guess, to DOT. It's nice that they're able to, you know, include the funding source for 2022, but it's an operating expenditure. So I guess my question is, I'm sure DOT has on the Maeve Olin Center, is there a lot of these are ops funding. So I'm just curious to know if DOT is poised and ready for, you know, 2023 when we're dealing with ops issues then. And I don't know if anybody can comment on that. It was just more of a comment, I guess. It's just anytime you're using a one-time capital expenditure to fund an operational expense, it's an issue. So hopefully DOT is aware of that, because it seems like a good program as well.
We'll make a note of that, and I'll make sure that gets back to our modal development office.
Maria, do you have another? You're fine? Okay. All right. Anyone with a raised hand? No. Okay, I need a motion to recommend adoption of amendment number 3 to the TPA fiscal year 2022-2026 TIP, and then I'll open the floor for any further discussion.
So moved.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Do we have any further discussion? Raised hands. I don't see any cards up. Hearing no further discussion, I have a motion by Vicky and a second by Anna. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Thank you. Moving on to B, motion to recommend adoption of the 2022 safety targets. I'd like to invite Andrew up to the podium, the TPA Deputy Director of Program Development, to present this item.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, I'll be presenting the 2022 recommended safety targets for both the roadways and then also prom trans fixed routes and the system. And so with the safety targets, these are something that we set annually. This is required at the federal level. So we're required to set our safety targets for both roadways and Palm Tran, our local transit service, annually. And we also have other federal measures that we're required to set targets for, but those happen every other year or every 4 years. So it's really these ones that come back to you annually. And we choose to do it. Our deadline is for safety is in February to report back to the state on these targets. And we typically do it in February along with our other performance measures. So you all see these presentations at one time in the year. But what's next on your agenda, what Jason is going to go over, is the whole performance measures scorecard. And we're going to try to keep that updated throughout the year. So it's always going to be current, but you'll get a report on it in February. That way you're not getting things sporadically throughout the year. So roadway safety targets. We're required federally to provide the results of number of fatalities, the rate of fatalities, serious injuries, the rate, and then the combined number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. And previously we set targets for Vision Zero. So we adopted targets of zero fatalities and serious injuries from 2018, 2019, 2020, and again in 2021. And then FHWA has set a national standard for having zero fatalities on our nation's roadways as the only acceptable goal. And then FDOT has formally adopted targets of zero for 2018 through 2021 as well. And then lastly, we recently updated our Vision Zero Action Plan this past year in 2021, and we're working towards those actions and implementation of those. And we provide that status report of that Vision Zero Action Plan and how we're doing that progress during our strategic plan update. So you all will be seeing that later on in the middle of this year before we start going to the new fiscal year. And so I'm going to go through a few slides, just high level of the trends we're seeing for Palm Beach County. And I wanted to make note here is that the data that comes out from FDOT is typically takes about a year to get the final results from the previous year. So we do not have the precise numbers, the finalized numbers for 2021. These are taken from Signal 4 Analytics, which provides more timely data, but it's not the final number. So anything you see from 2020 backwards are the ones that are the official numbers. And so it's ones inputted from me for 2021. But what you're seeing in these trends is an increase in total fatalities on our roadway system. And this is an increase over last year as well. So going up to 204. And what you see in the line there is the five-year rolling average from the previous year. So still continuously going up on our average. The same is not said for total serious injuries in the county. Right now we're seeing a drop in serious injuries overall, and obviously we had less people on the roadways. We had a higher fatality rate. You know, a lot of those are potentially caused because of higher speeds on the roadways with more free flow traffic and possibly other issues with people not wearing the seatbelts as often during the pandemic, just more risky behavior on the roadways. But when it comes to serious injuries, you know, with the lower VMTs, we are seeing a little bit lower total serious injuries. Hopefully that 2021 number doesn't jump up too much more than what it's currently at, but it probably will get closer to that 2020 total once those numbers are finalized. And this last one is the total pedestrian bicycle fatalities and serious injuries. We are seeing a slight drop off in the past 2 years for those totals. However, What you don't see in here is the breakdown of fatalities and serious injuries. That drop-off is really caused because of serious injury drop-off. There actually is a slight increase in fatalities and for pedestrian bicycles year to year. And so this is what we have for the recommended targets for 2022 is maintaining that goal of Vision Zero. So having targets for 2022 of zero fatalities and that rate and serious injuries, the rate of those, and then also those pedestrian bicycle fatalities and serious injuries. And then we're also showing on this table, this is a 2020 actual, which are those official FDOT numbers, what you saw on the previous screen, and then the actuals for 2021, which are preliminary. So again, going up in number of fatalities, a little bit down in the serious injuries. And then I want to discuss a few of the PalmTran measures. So this is provided from PalmTran, and we have the ability to endorse or modify these as well. And they're required to measure for both their modes, fatalities, the rate, number of injuries, the rate, and these are by vehicle revenue miles instead of vehicle miles traveled, what you'd see on roadways. And there's safety events, and then the rates of those for vehicle revenue miles, and then the average distance between mechanical failures. And they're required to set these for both fixed route and the paratransit service. And so their 2022 fixed route targets they have are zero fatalities. They had one fatality last year on their system. And then you can see the targets for injuries, to a target of 63, the injury rate 0.9, safety events 43. This is between mechanical failures 14,000. And then there's the same for the paratransit targets. So they have targets for 2022 of zero fatalities. And then they also had no fatalities in 2021. And you can also see the targets for injuries, 34, the rate 0.4, safety events 32. That's really all I have for you all today. There's more information on our performance measures dashboard that gets more into the details of the data that we're updating continuously. And so if you have any recommendations on how we display that data or have any other ways we can do a better job of that, just let us know and we'd love to keep that a better source for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
Madam Chair.
No, Madam Chair.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So I just need a motion to recommend adoption of the 2022 safety targets, and then we can open the floor for discussion.
I move to approve the targets.
Okay. Vicki?
So this is kind of a geeky question, but and maybe you covered it already, but so is VMT or VRM the same as accounting for just normal population increase when, you know, relative to the increase in injuries and deaths?
Yes, in so many words, it is. So with vehicle miles traveled, that's why they're required to report on rate as well, because when you have an increase in vehicle miles traveled, most likely have a corresponding increase in fatalities and serious injuries. But if you're trying to bring down that rate, that's like another way of measuring your success. So yes, it sort of does correlate with population increases in that, because we have increases in VMT. The caveat to that is it's hard to, why you don't see a rate for pedestrians and bicyclists is because it's tough to, you know, equate that with a VMT. So some people have done that with population. So like, you know, your pedestrian bicycle fatalities related to your population increases, but we haven't gone that direction either. There's sort of like errors in that too, but you are correct that.
Right, because clearly there will be more bicyclists and pedestrians as the population goes up.
So. Right, so when you see increases in VMT, but you also see increases in our people walking and biking on the roadway, yeah, we probably most likely see a higher rate of those injuries and fatalities.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have CJ, and then we'll do Xavier, and then Melissa.
Andrew, just a quick question: is that target the moving target, or the will be set differently from year to year?
It isn't a moving target. It is set year to year, correct? And we've always set it at zero, if that's what you mean.
Right, right, right. The fertility is always zero. But how about those threshold for the transit?
For the transit, how do those?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I'd have to, unfortunately, I don't have enough details on how they set their targets, their future targets. I'm not sure if Pomchen, and if you have any background on that, I don't mean to call you out, about how targets are sort of, how do you come up with like injuries and your fatalities targets on those?
Yes, for the targets, we look at averages. So we look at the past four fiscal years to set the new targets for 2022.
Is the target observed the number of the major observed here, or the basically adopt from the national data? There's a national transit database.
So if we do follow the national transit database and the standards set by the FTA to set the safety targets.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Javier?
Yes. Turn this on, remember. I have actually three questions. One is related to trolleys. Cities have trolleys that operate in some ways complement the Pontran service. But shouldn't we be thinking about setting targets for that, the trolleys as well, as maybe not now, but thinking about in the future, so we'll have a sort of like cohesive effort going on between transit that locals utilize and then the regional transit.
That's a good point, and I think that's something that we can work with as staff and see how that would play out. What you didn't see on here is tri-rail targets, right? Tri-rail is not required to. They have a different set of performance standards for safety that aren't required like through these federal performance standards. So that's why you're not seeing us adopt targets like that, but they also have targets. We do have in our, I didn't show them here, but we do have in our online dashboard, one of our goals in our LRTP, our performance measures is rail fatalities. So that's another one that we do track that you're not seeing here, but one that we haven't really, we haven't dived into is trolleys. So that's a good recommendation.
The second question is the numbers of accidents for pedestrians and bicycles nationally has been so-called going down because of COVID. But the reality is that the severity of those accidents have increased. Is there any way that we're sort of like tracking that down as part of these charts in terms of severity? Otherwise, we're kind of looking, we're not comparing apples to apples. So, you know, if the severity of the accidents are increasing and the numbers are down, we're still looking at a safety concern. But because the numbers are down, we just kind of go, okay, well, we're doing better than the last year. But the reality is that we're not, because the severity has increased.
Meaning the rate?
Severity meaning like the impact, you know, like somebody getting, instead of just getting an injury, actually it's a fatality, you know, so or severe injury in some cases have gone substantially up because people are speeding, you know, there's mm-hmm. less cars in the road, so people are going higher speeds and they see a pedestrian, they don't have time to react and boom, they're you know mm-hmm. whereas before they were following closer to the posted speed limit and they had some time to react and therefore the severity wasn't that high.
Right. I guess, are you recommending that we try to provide a better effective way of messaging that in the yes. presentation? Okay.
Yes, that would be my thought.
And there's preliminary data out, just build off of that, about, I was trying to read more up about 2021 trends with what we're seeing. And even though we did see higher fatality rates in 2020, now we're returning to I'll call post-pandemic levels of vehicle miles traveled. We've at least returned to our VMT levels we've had pre-pandemic, and we're still seeing higher rates. So, you know, it's interesting to see sort of we're still going up, even though we were back to our VMT, the rate's still going up.
Okay, one last question. In that chart, we're seeing that the number of injuries for the projected for the target for 2022 is 63. It's actually higher than the actual. In the area of vision zero, why aren't we looking at zero as a target?
Sure. I think Anna touched on this a little bit with these PalmTran ones. So it sounds like they take the past four fiscal years of data and they find the average of that and they're trying to beat that average. So they must have had, I think, the previous years for safety events or of injuries, whichever it is, most likely had a more in those previous years. So it was lower in 2021. Obviously, there's probably less PalmTran service out there. And less ridership. And so that's why you see a lower number in 34 for injuries, but in the previous years probably had higher numbers. And so they came with a 63 target based on multiple years average of the past.
I think I understand where the data is coming from, where it is going, but in terms of, you know, safety and planning ahead, we should be looking at a lower target instead of a higher target than the actual. That's just my point, you know. I'm just making a point here. I'm not, you know, complaining about the same, but I think it's looking ahead, maybe a future years, you know, a transit or transportation agency should be looking at reducing or, you know, getting it closer to zero rather than continue with the trend and saying, okay, we're still, you know, lower than the prior years, but. You know, it's always like it's all about goals. You know, when you have a higher goal, to me, you kind of go the direction you accept what comes. If you diminish or you lower the number of injuries as a goal, you end up with working towards a vision zero, you know, target. That's just my comment. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
I have Anna. I have Chris from PalmTran with his hand raised.
Yes, I asked him to call in if he wanted to clarify any of the information on this.
So I have Chris Londano from PalmTran with his hand raised.
To address what Javier was talking about. Okay.
So Chris, you should be able to unmute on your end.
I just unmute myself. Good morning, Christian Londano, Manager of Performance Management from PalmTran for the record. Let me clarify a couple of things, if I may. So all the numbers that you see in your screen, those are submitted annually to the FDA through the National Transit Database. And yes, the targets for 2022 are higher than the actual performance in 2021. So let me explain that. So first of all, we decided to keep the targets consistent with the ones in 2021 because we're still not experiencing regular circumstances out there in the road. So regular service returned in PalmTran in May. Schools went back brick and mortar in August. Ridership is still 30% below regular levels. So we're expecting in 2022 that ridership is coming back. Schools are going to be brick and mortar, you know, during the entire year. School drives a lot of the ridership, both on the fixed route and paratransit. So proposing more aggressive goals based on 2021 when the conditions were not the regular conditions will be a little bit too aggressive. And the other part is the National Transit Database allows PalmTran to compare our metrics to the benchmark in the nation. And our numbers are by far better than a lot of our peers. So that is why the decision was made to keep the targets 2022 consistent with the ones we set to 2021. And as you can see with the numbers, because the numbers that you see for targets, we pretty much with the performance in 2021, we surpass all the targets for 2021. For 2022, as ridership grows and we put more service out on the road, we are aiming to stay to achieve those targets, but we have to see how that performance goes as ridership returns and we normalize our service.
Thank you, Chris.
You're
welcome. Next, Melissa, and then Alex.
My question was answered from the previous discussion, so I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Alex?
It's kind of a comment and question. It's always kind of tricky, I understand, from a target standpoint, to have a target that is, in terms of fatalities and injuries, a target that is zero in a place that is as large as Palm Beach County. I'm afraid, realistically, you are never going to meet that target. We all hope that one day, Vision Zero is zero fatalities, zero serious injuries, but in a place of our size, that would be almost impossible. What other metrics? And I understand why you have that zero target, but again, it's not going to be achieved realistically. What other metrics does the TPA use compared to other areas, maybe just to see, okay, are we improving? And I realize maybe downward or upward trends could be one, but what other metrics could be used also to determine whether there's at least some other type of progress? Because if the target of is always zero and you are not achieving it, then what would be at least some intermediate acceptable other measurements or measures that we could strive for? If always we say, well, next year we want to have zero, but right now we are in the hundreds or thousands of fatalities or injuries. Again, what other metrics can we use to determine some level of success or lack thereof, besides the fact that we did not achieve the target of zero?
That's a good question, Alex. What we have right now when it comes to those are just some of the best practices of what could get us towards a safer environment out there, right? So on our dashboard, what we have set, the TPA has set targets for are the types of pedestrian bicycle facilities out there that are separated, buffer bicycle facilities, sidewalks. So that's metrics that we track for that. And so that's getting more at like infrastructure investments, which in turn over the time frame would start to lead hopefully to decreases in fatalities and serious injuries. So that would be my answer to that side of it. There's other ones that, FDOT tracks, and we also track this too, like level of traffic stress. This is another way of getting at safety and comfortability of pedestrians and bicycles on the transportation system. So that's what we're currently doing, at least. Sure. It sounds like Valerie wants to chime in here as well.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Valerie Nielsen, Interim Executive Director. I wanted to chime in because this is a question that we always get. And it's obviously a question that this is an international effort. It's a national effort. And everyone says, zero is an unrealistic number, but then you're stuck with, well, is 27 an okay number? Is a, that sort of thing. So what I wanted to say is that one of our goals, we do have a Vision Zero Action Plan that Andrew mentioned, and where we have all kinds of different tactics and strategies that we want to work with our local municipalities and how to lower these numbers and really reach the goal or get closer to the goal of zero serious injuries and fatalities being acceptable on our transportation system. But one of our goals, one of our actions is to hold Vision Zero workshops with for our local municipalities, which we have in the past. And this could be a topic that we can bring to that workshop to see what, how are others addressing this question that always comes up? Is there really a realistic number? What's other things that we can say zero is the only acceptable number, but what are really some other metrics that we could help track better? So that's something that we want to plan soon, another one of those. So maybe that's something that we can reach out to all of you to see what other questions are you struggling with in terms of Vision Zero to become a Vision Zero municipality. And super excited. Andrew actually presented last night at the City of Delray Beach Commission meeting, and they just adopted a Vision Zero resolution. So we have one more city on board locally for Vision Zero. Just wanted to chime in with that great news. Thanks, Andrew.
procedure. I completely agree with it. It's just that, again, from a policy standpoint, we should also have some other metrics, I guess, that show at least different progress or lack thereof towards achieving that ultimate goal.
Thank you, Alex. Kim?
I'm sorry. Can you turn your microphone off?
Sorry about that. So thank you for the presentation. And this is always a tricky discussion, especially in this committee, I think, because there are some semantic challenges with the idea of setting a safety target at a number other than zero. So, and I'm watching the presentation and trying to process it and figure out how, from a technical standpoint, and then ultimately from a policy standpoint, we can do something that's meaningful in this area. And I appreciate understanding how PalmTran sets its numbers, right? So really what you're looking at is a moving average. You're not really looking at a target if you think about how we use the term target. So one of the ways maybe to modify the way we describe these metrics in a way that's meaningful, a suggestion, what the 2022 target is really a four-year moving average, right? That's what the number is that we're tracking. And the target, I think, is zero, if I understand the consensus of how we tend to approach this topic. So maybe we can add moving averages into how we track these metrics, because that's really what's going to be meaningful. If you go back to your slide that had the data on incidents in the county for bike ped, right? So just stop on any one of those. I mean, that is that's an 8-year average, which is kind of hard to process, you know? So if we start to compress that, and maybe we look at a 3-year moving average or a 5-year moving average, that's going to be more meaningful. The other data I think that's valuable is understanding not just the total quantity of protected bike lanes and sidewalks and shared use paths, but the percentage of the network that is now augmented by those facilities. And that can also be a moving average that I think is going to get to perhaps one of the issues that Alex was raising, because I think the data in the aggregate is just, it's hard to understand and find something that's meaningful. It's kind of too much information. But I think if we compress it down, we can do a better job of understanding, are we making a difference, in having a higher percentage of the transportation network that has what we would consider to be the safest type of facility, right? And then what's happening on the network in a smaller chunk. I just make that suggestion to the group as a way to think about the data in a different way that I think would be also, from a policy standpoint, a better way to defend and explain what we're trying to do. Because I have a hard time saying the target of injuries is 48 or 53, even if that's how we set the standard, I'm not comfortable with that semantically.
Thank you, Kim. Gary?
Yes, hi, Gary Dunmeyer. This is a perfect slide for me. I just wanted to ask a follow-up question with this. Is this pedestrian and bicycle data with bicycle lanes, or is it at intersections, or is it not segregated?
It can be segregated, but what you're seeing on the screen is all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, all of them that are in the public right of way. So these won't include ones in private facilities like parking lots.
Okay. And then my other question is, when you have bikes that have been hit by cars, is that double counted? Is that also a car accident and a bicycle accident? So do you count that data twice?
It isn't counted twice, no. Okay. But it is, it's flagged as the data is calculated, it's consumed, the data is provided in multiple ways. You can parse it plenty of ways, but it is counted as one.
Okay. Just curious. Thank you.
Okay. Natalie?
Thanks. I had sort of a similar thought process of what Kim just expressed, and I appreciate you expressing that in the way that you did, because it really, I too have issues sitting here as a, on the technical advisory and looking at the word target and being comfortable recommending an increase in injuries. It kind of ties into Javier's comments as well. He seems a little, the whole idea of saying, yes, this is, we want our targets to be worse than the actuals is counterintuitive. And I think that, however, you know, there's different ways to approach it. You know, obviously, you know, PalmTran has their specific methodology for evaluating the targets. And, you know, and the methodology is the methodology. But I do agree, it really does link to semantics. And I don't know what the flexibility is on this process for modifying the word target, but I am very uncomfortable on this board saying, hey, we're okay with higher injuries. That's where we want to go. You know, vision zero is precisely, you know, if you just look at the first word in vision zero, it's vision. It's, hey, where do we want to go? And that's what the word target means. It's where do we want to go? And we can't sit here today and say, this is where we want to go. We want to improve our targets. So if there is a way to modify that, I fully support that. You know, I also wanted to kind of make the technical point on, you know, just, you know, we're in a lot of data and it's being presented very broadly. And there's a whole bunch of scenarios that tie into that. But, you know, when you look at the number of fatalities and the number, you know, the actual incidents, you know, it really depends on, you know, ridership and use. And so, you know, there very well may come a time when, bike, you know, bike traffic and pedestrian traffic increases, you may have higher numbers, and the data is skewed because it's not expressed in a way of a percentage in terms of actual ridership. So that's just more of a comment that's out there as we discuss these targets, because they know, I know that we're, you know, it comes up on a regular basis, but, you know, as ridership increases, as it decreases, as pedestrian activity and bike activity increases and decreases, you know, it seems to be that there's a focus on numbers, but I really think there ought to be more consideration in the methodology expressed toward a percentage. So that's just food for thought. But, you know, my main thought is that, you know, if there's a way that we can look at this word target, I would be willing to support something like this, but I'm not willing to support it as is.
Do you mind if I follow up? Those are very good points. Thank you, both of you, for that. I think the way when we approach it to the board and to the rest of these committees, because you all are the first ones, is a good way of doing it, is even though we set this vision zero target, the way that it's measured success, I guess, at the federal performance level is, are your numbers better than the previous year, right? So it's still considered a success if you're beating previous year. So if you're going down. So when it's presented to that, I can do a better job of how we portray previous years, and then 2020 and 2021, are we moving down? Like, is the trend going down? And measuring that as success. I think right now, when it comes to the federal requirements, I think you have to meet 3 out of the 5 measures, meaning going down. It has to be the rates and the numbers total should be going down 3 out of the 5 measures, regardless of what your target is. And if you're not meeting that, then there's like potential issues with where you should be focusing your federal funding, and they'll put mandates on that. But that's sort of how they approach it. And I could talk more about that in my other committees and to the board, if that makes a little bit more sense.
Okay. Do you have any ability to change? I mean, specifically, you're talking about PalmTran targets.
I was talking about the ones on the screen.
No, I mean for the comfort level of the people in the room, whether or not they want to support the concept of a target. This is, you know, being more than double of what the actual is from the last year. So, but do you have any ability to make a change to these targets? Because these are, the one they're talking about is PalmTran's targets.
Do you want to go first, Helen?
Yes.
All right, so let's try to wordsmith on the fly, if that's okay. So is there a conflict, Anna, if the TPA references the data in a different way than PalmTran
uses? Actually, Chris wanted to address some of the comments you had, because these are set by our performance management office. So.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so the main thing here is the conditions on which PalmTran is operating, right? Like, so to give you a perspective, on 2019, pre-pandemic, the number of injuries we reported were 68. So you can see how that 63 makes sense. The number of safety events were 45 for the fixed route. So in 2018, we experienced, of course, with COVID, the sharp ridership decline. We were about 50% down in ridership for a big portion of the year. We also didn't provide regular service. So we went to a Saturday service type of level. So the amount of miles that we were operating on the road and passengers we were transporting decreased significantly. So with that, the whole number increased, right? Decreased. We go from 68 injuries in 2019 pre-pandemic to in 2021 reported 34. Now in 2022, we are hoping that we continue to go back to regular service and regular levels of ridership. We continue to see the light at the end of the tunnel through this pandemic. So we could set up targets that are more stringent. But again, we are exceeding the benchmark with our peers, and everybody's experiencing the same thing in terms of recovering from the ridership. And then with that returning back, we see these numbers could potentially increase. So if I come back with a target that is based on just the previous year and you're not taking into account pre-pandemic times, then the following year, maybe 2023, 2024, the targets will be increasing. And then we'll be looking at a higher levels. And it will be a bad picture to see, Palmtrain injuries and safety events and fatalities. Our goal is always zero. Our last fatality in the fixed route reported was in 2016, one fatality, and nothing since then until 2021, unfortunately. And our target for fatalities will always be zero, in line with Vision Zero. But injuries relate to the passenger injuries. So the more passengers are riding the system, the more potential for injuries. And ridership is increasing. Ridership in 2022 is projected to be much higher than ridership in 2021 and 2020. So that's where we came up with this target, and we set them up at this number. And again, we just keep them consistent with the ones that we have for 2021. We're not increasing the targets. We're just keeping them there as we're expecting ridership to return to our system.
I have one more follow-up too. I could probably add to that. And Chris could probably answer this as well, but I believe what you're seeing on the screen too for number of injuries is all injuries and not just serious injuries. So that is a little bit different than what we have for the roadway targets, right? So those are fatal fatalities and serious injuries, which are more in line with Vision Zero. They're required to report on, I believe, on all injuries. And they're
correct. Right. Correct. And the safety events relate to the vehicle collisions. So the same thing, the amount of miles we were running on service in 2019, we're talking about 10.3 million miles, and now we're 7 miles, vehicle revenue miles for 2021, because part of the year we were running limited service. And then now we're increasing service. So talk about also traffic on the road. As more, traffic has been increasing. So the potential for safety events to increase is increasing as well. So just as the conditions in 2020 and 2021 are not regular conditions. So we're considering previous years as well and the performance of those years as we're setting these targets. And this follows our PTASP, our Public Transit Agency Safety Plan, which is a document we submit to the FTA for our agency and the methodology, which is basing the targets on that 5-year span and the average performance for those years.
Okay, I'm gonna hear from Maria, and then we'll go John and then Jamie.
Okay, I've been hearing this conversation and I also feel very uncomfortable for the TPA to adopt number of injuries that are higher than the prior year. This is, as we all know, Vision Zero, so the target should be zero. I understand the way Palmtrain is going to with this, and it's fine, but we, as the Technical Advisory Committee, I don't know that we feel comfortable with that. So I'm trying to look at options. Option number one, my question is, do we need to adopt Palmtrain, or can we, as the TA, the Technical Advisory Committee said, no, we're adopting zero, regardless of whether it's going up or down, we're adopting zero, because then the number of vehicles in the road and miles traveled also go up. But we still say we don't want to see anything other than zero. Whether it's realistic or not, doesn't matter. It's a vision. The vision is zero. So the question number one, my question is, do we need to adopt this? And if so, if we need to adopt PalmTran safety-related targets, do we need to adopt the same as them? Or can we say, no, we are not going to accept anything other than zero?
We can adopt targets other than PalmTran. The implications of that, I don't know precisely what that is, what we are required to show. So I think it's sort of related to all the other performance measures, such as bridge and pavement. You know, we can go with the state's targets or adopt our own, but I think we need to provide some type of description of why we went with the different targets. And I don't know if it also involves like how we're meeting the targets in more detail versus what PalmTran's doing. So we can, I just don't know the extent to what additional information we need to provide when we provide that target.
Okay, and then my next question is, do we really need to adopt PalmTran? Can we just adopt the FDOT targets, or the TPA also has to adopt PalmTran? Because we can just take out PalmTran and say we're adopting FDOT.
We're federally required to also adopt the transit targets.
Okay. Okay, John.
Thank you. So I had a lot of different things floating through my head over the discussion. Let me kind of work backwards, and then the rest of it will probably float away and we'll shorten this up a bit. But as we talk about, you know, PalmTran targets and we're adopting them, I think we need to think also, we're the transportation planning organization, but are we doing the transit planning? I think we need to also rely a little bit on the agency that's responsible for doing that planning to establish the target. So if I don't know that it does us a lot of good to say we want zero, we think zero is the only acceptable number, but we're not allocating SU funding to transit projects to bring it to zero. We're still expecting FTA and the transit agencies to kind of work that out. And so I mean, I guess there's pass-through dollars, but we're not proactively involved in that process. So I would caution the group a little bit about establishing, you know, metrics, measures, targets, goals that we don't directly influence, because it's counterproductive in some regards. And I think I want to have a little discussion about the pavement management stuff after with you guys, just to kind of make sure we're all on the same page. I liked what Natalie said about, you know, the numbers. When we talk about pedestrian and bicycle injuries, you know, as we build out the system, I think if we're successful, the numbers will go up because we're getting more bicycles and pedestrians out there. We as a community think of safety in the automobile part of the equation. We create a rate with VMT, and this was kind of what Vicky was touching on at the very beginning. When we talk about pedestrians and bicycles, we don't really have a good normalization rate to that exposure piece of pedestrians and bicycles. The population that was mentioned by Vicky is maybe a way to normalize that, but that still doesn't get it at how many bicyclists and pedestrians are out there. And is it, you know, is the number, even though it's going up, getting worse, or are we doing a better job? So as a percentage of the overall population and the users, that's a very important piece. So if the MPO can direct maybe some of the consultant resources to doing some research in that area, can we do maybe counts? You know, when we go out and identify a high pedestrian bicycle area, can we go out and do counts and then expand the population to a statistical norm, something like that? So those were just some of the thoughts that I had going through here. As far as this particular target zero, I think we all agree that zero is the only acceptable number. But maybe as you present to the board, like you said, Andrew, if we had three or four previous years of data so that they can see what the VRM is. I mean, he mentioned, Chris just did, that, you know, we had 10 last year, maybe the three previous years, it's 15, you know. So it's, I don't think setting a number of injuries at 63 is necessarily a bad thing if the normal thinking, you know, if we've been experiencing 75, 80, 100 over the last 3 years, they're just looking at one column. So, you know, you will do yourself a lot of good if you can present some historical information to the board, because I think they're going to be very like-minded to the constituents that you're hearing here in the, in this meeting. So that, and then I did have a question for Chris. Is the 63, when we say injuries in transit, does that also include, you know, somebody who's stepping off the bus and trips and falls? Is that an injury that gets reported, or are these strictly riders that get hit by a vehicle? I would be curious to know that. And the distinction between serious and total, like you said, Andrew, is very important as well. If we look at the total number of injuries and vehicle crashes, I think we would see a dramatically different picture than what we show as when we talk about serious injuries.
So injuries, if I may address your question, you know, injuries are reported inside the bus or around the bus. So in the number one type of passenger injuries that are reported are falls. So people falling when the bus is stopping, and we have that voice message that says, please hold on while the bus is in motion. And we tell people, hold on, and sometimes they don't. Drivers wait a little bit, people find their seat. Sometimes, you know, they have to get moving and people are not holding on and they fall. So that's the number one type of injuries. We do record the ones that happen when people are onboarding the bus or approaching the bus. There's people that are running towards the bus and they trip and fall. Those are reported as well. And the safety events, they relate to the collisions. So yes, those are all types of collisions, all types of passenger injuries are the ones that are reported. So, and like you said, it would be beneficial to take a look at all the years, the previous years, and maybe that's something that we missed to put in this presentation, to have that perspective, to see how we have been trending, because the trend is being positive for Palm Trend. If you take a look at previous years, just in 2016, the number of passenger injuries, we have 119. Now in 2016, we didn't have a mandatory wheelchair securement, which Palm Trend started in 2019. So one of the top type of falls were wheelchair falls, because wheelchairs didn't have to be secured. And some of them would choose not to be secured and they will fall while the vehicle was in motion. We, after we started with that policy, the wheelchair falls decreased to zero. We don't have wheelchair falls in our vehicles because they're either strapped or we cannot move the vehicle. So those, the trends have been positive, but again, compared to the industry, we are doing much better. And then just set it up, we could just set up the targets to zero, all of them. Of course, it is our intent to have zero passengers being injured in our vehicles. But do we do the exercise every year to see where we are, where we're going, and what the target should be based on previous performance, or we just, you know, keep it on zero and just base it on that? I think it's a better exercise to be reevaluating the targets and having targets that are reflective of the previous performance.
I think the point is it's shouldn't be a target to get to 63 people. That's your average. That's what your expectation is based on the averages for the past years. But to put it in the term of target, it's like, we only have 34 people injured so far. We have to have 30 more injured before the end of the year. That's what a target usually is. So I think what everyone's been trying to say is they have a problem with the term target being utilized to talk about the number of injuries. So we have a target of 63, we're gonna get there. That's how you normally look at targets. And so it is back to what Kim said, the semantics of it. The word target shouldn't be used to look at the number of injuries. Because you're, even from what you're saying, you're not looking at it as a target. You're looking at it as an average of
a projection.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And there's some metrics where you're aiming to get there, such as the distance between mechanical failures. So that is good when it increases, right? So we're aiming to increase, to be at or over that number. So in 2021, 12,719, that is not achieving that target of 14,000. Now for safety related metrics, we want to be under. So we're not saying we're trying to get to 63. We're saying we're trying to be below 63 and as much below as possible. So this metric specifically is not successful with increasing or getting to the number, but staying below. So even at 63, our goal is to be at zero, but no more than 63.
Okay. Jamie?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You pretty much summed up what I was going to say before I was going to say it. I think it's just an issue with the terminology. But, you know, and I understand what Chris was saying with, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, obviously last year the numbers got cut in half. It's going to go up again this year. But kind of piggybacking on what John said and what Kim said earlier, we're looking at averages. So I don't know what the issue is with just really changing the terminology, because it's kind of misleading when you see target and you see the number 63. Just change the terminology. It's just verbiage. So,
Kim and then CJ.
So what if we just use a less than sign in the target column? Okay, if we must use the term target, which I continue to think is the wrong term to use, but we seem to be stuck on that. At a minimum, a less than sign, the target is less than 63, which is the moving average, I think. I'm just trying to find a resolution here since we've been chatting around this issue for kind of a while. So I'll just suggest again, however the number needs to be established, the methodology is generated by the agency using best practices. I don't think there's any question about that. And we all want to see numbers going down in this area. But for a policy document that's generated with the endorsement of the committee, I think what the challenge is how the data is being described. It's not a question of how the data is being generated. So either a less than sign in front of any number that isn't zero, or a word other than target. Mm-hmm. I think is a way to go. Throwing that out there, you know, perhaps it's the 2022 moving average. I there's different ways to describe the figure with the goal that it's going to be less than something other than, if something is more than zero, then that's not okay, right? So less than any number that is one or more, or actually 0.9 or more.
Okay, CJ.
We are talking about statistics here, and we are facing a lot of the statistics. And if we don't compile those statistics well, based on the good methodology, reliable methodology, those statistics are gonna be biased, and we are gonna mislead by those biased statistics. So methodology matters. Reliability of the methodology. Some of the measures is good to be a measures, but some of them are not. In my humble opinion, the number of fatality, the number of injury, disregard of what category they belong to, is highly random. It's highly random if you're looking at, especially when you look at the limited number of samples. So I'm suggesting that we disregard the less reliable measures such as the numbers, especially numbers in the floating format. Disregard is a moving average, or you simply take the past 10 years average. Those average tend to be highly skewed if you have got 1 year's outlier inferences into it. Okay, so there are statistics, in this theory wise, there are a lot more robust statistics we can utilize too for that, but I'm not here to educate people in terms of what the statistic is, but to be practical, the number thing instead of the moving average is not suitable for target. Whereas the rate, what I understand, the injury rate per VRMs and the injury rate is also to do with the VMT on the traffic, interacted with the traffic, the bus operation. I understand all that. So if you want to adopt this as a target, then you might as well just take into account that all those factors that related to the injury occurrence, such as VRM, such as a VMT into it, they can be the function of a cell phone. The transit operation agency can decide on that based on the national interest, the national research, as long as you well documented that methodology, and the number of the sample also matter too. There are a lot of sample in the national transit database. As of now, I just have no idea what kind of data you are utilizing, pulled out from the transit national transit database, and how many sample you are utilizing it to do the computation, come up with those target. And once this number of data sample is fixed, what kind of liability, so-called a level of confidence you have for those are associated with those target. You know, when we talk about 5% of level of confidence, it's dramatically different from 10% of level of confidence. And those statistics, when you are monkeying with the statistics, it will tell you that. So I'm sincere request the transit agency, when you come up with those statistics, you also documented what kind of methodology you are using, how many sample you are adopting into this calculation, and so forth. So we understand that, and there will be no dispute whatsoever in terms of this statistics that we are facing with right now.
Thank you, CJ. Next is Natalie, then Javier, then Vicky.
Thank you. I completely respect the host agency's methodology. So I just want to be clear. And I think that's been reiterated. I kind of want to just keep this moving because it does seem to be, I don't think anybody here is disputing the methodology in which it's bubbling up from, whether it's PalmTran. And I don't think anybody wants to mess with the methodology because I think we understand our place. Like many others have reiterated, I think it's just a mention of, you know, this is a policy that, you know, we're making policy decisions, and the word target is an issue. I don't know if I liked, Kim, your idea of maybe putting first of all, I guess the question is, can we change the word target to projection? Can we change the word target to projection? Is that going to mess things up? Is this methodology, is this word target established as part of these guidelines? Is that possible to even change?
I just like the word projection.
Projection, yes.
I feel like it would not feel like a measure anymore, as in it just, it's going to happen.
What I was going to say, I think Anna might chime in, but I think target is a requirement that the PalmTran has to report to FTA and the National Transit Database.
Okay.
So whether or not they can use a less than, I'm not sure. And that might be whether it's an absolute value or a less than sign, mm-hmm. might be a question.
Well, my second comment, if that's not possible, then, because I like the less than idea, it kind of interferes with the distance, because I think in that particular metric, the higher you are, maybe is it possible to put an asterisk below target and say based on a moving average? Because I think the whole idea, you know, this board wants to send a message, we are okay with these established measurements and whatever you want to call it, projections, targets, as you will, but you know, it's not in any way, shape, or form saying that we are okay as a goal. So my only other comment in this discussion is to maybe put an asterisk in lieu of the less than and say based on a moving average, if we have to keep target.
Sure. And I'll let maybe Anna chime in, but I was also going to suggest potentially, even though we are just showing what PalmTran has to report based on their requirements and their guidelines to FTA, it might be for our purposes helpful to break it out, if it possible, the injuries, because it's not apples to apples. We are having to set targets required by FHWA and FDOT, and the state has gone with zero, and so have we. For serious injuries, that means incapacitating, and fatalities. They are showing all injuries. As Chris mentioned, I was getting on the bus and I tripped and scraped my knee. And so saying, you know, 63 is the number of injuries. What are we talking about? The people that are on or getting on off the bus, and on the bus, they tripped when the bus was moving. So anyways, I'll let Anna chime into that, but that might be helpful for this discussion and our purposes.
So you're correct, Valerie. We have to use the word target because, again, as we are discussing the methodology, this is required by the Federal Transit Administration. As far as if there's some sort of leeway to make the changes that the TAC committee is discussing, I'll let Chris chime in on that. Can we do that, Christian?
Yes, what was the question, Anna?
So the TAC committee wants to make some changes to the safety targets, like adding a less than sign for the injuries or some sort of explanations in regards to the targets. Are we allowed to make any changes?
So yes, I mean, we can put less than for the accidents, and I think that's already implicit, because anything accident related, you're gonna want, you know, you're shooting to have less than, you know, if not zero. So we could add that under target. I don't see why that would be a problem. I mean, for everything that we report, you know, accident related, our goal is to be less than the target, yes.
Javier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that Natalie stole my thunder, actually. I was going to suggest, projections, but I'm glad that it was suggested. So an analogy, before I, a young engineer started a consulting business, and then I had a mentor, and he pulled me aside and he said, you know, this business is about numbers. And that kind of reminds me of this discussion, because what we're talking about here is numbers. When you see numbers going up, it's a red flag. Regardless, I don't want to extend this conversation further. We have already taken it too. But the question that I have is, do we need to approve this now? Can we allow PalmTran to, you know, revisit this discussion and come back to us next time, next meeting, and then we can then have a better, we'll be in a better position to approve or this plan. Is that acceptable?
The roadway targets need to be set by the end of February. The transit targets don't technically need to be set until we update our transportation improvement program, which is a few months away. The reason why we do them all at once is, well, one, you get them out of the way and you have a focus on safety. It usually gets buried if we try to do it during TIP update, because we have so much other to talk about. So that's why we do it. So, but our true deadline on that is we would be establishing new targets in the TIP for transit. So we do have a little bit of time if we wanted to come back.
It's a definite consideration for this committee.
Okay. Thank you. I have Vicky and then Kim.
Yes, no, you can't change FTA's terminology, unfortunately. And secondly, as Maria was suggesting, so what I wonder is, could the TPA adopt its own target separate from the transit agency and then tie TPA transit planning efforts to, as John was suggesting, set some goals to achieve that planning target. And I'm thinking of programs. I know in Miami-Dade, I worked there for a while. DOT had a program, maybe through their transportation alternatives. They funded regular bike ped education programs, mostly for kids. They were considered very successful. And so that's, you know, a thought I had relative to Maria's and John's observations.
Thank you, Vicki. Kim?
Whoops. I broke it. It's not turning on. There we go. You yeah. can see it. My angle. Andrew, do you need a motion from us today on the bike, on the non-transit portion? That's what it sounds like.
We do have a motion, least, and yeah. we have a second. We have a motion by Maria to approve and a second by Kim.
Okay, so I'll amend my second if I can make a friendly amendment on my own second. Is that possible? So- I don't have my handy Robert's rules in my backpack over here.
You can suggest a friendly amendment and then okay. Maria so, can make it.
Thanks for that. So, all right. So how about we suggest, how about I suggest a friendly amendment that we approve the non-transit portion, okay, with a request data be presented with 3-year and 5-year moving averages as it goes forward, because I think that would make it more meaningful. And then to request that PalmTran take a second look at modifying the way the data is described as part of the TPA's safety plan. So that's my friendly amendment to that motion. So maybe we need to find out if Maria thinks that's okay first.
I second that motion.
Okay, great. So so if I understand what we're trying to adopt, right? We're adopting a TPA document, right? It's a TPA document. It's not a federal document, right? It's a TPA document. So we have the liberty to describe the data in the manner that we feel is appropriate as a local agency. Is that not accurate? That I'm just trying to understand what it is that we're adopting.
Right? Correct. You are required, I mean, but you have to set targets for these specific things.
I understand. Right. I understand that. Yep. So, but we have liberty to explain it in the way that we feel comfortable as an agency.
Correct.
Right. Right. Because it's our own internal document essentially for the TPA's boundaries. So with that, when the document comes back, I'll make a request to staff. We've had the risk of having this item on a light agenda, it doesn't get buried. It's the only thing we talk about because we have so much opportunity. So that said, you know, my caution to you. That said, a request that when the document comes back, that you've heard the discussion today, that staff take that input and present the data back in a manner that is more aligned with the concerns that were raised by the committee. The word target is clearly uncomfortable to us as a group as presented, because to Kara's point, we only got 62, you know, injuries. We better get one more so we meet our number. That seems, it feels awkward. So to please revisit the semantics, to include the averages, and to include in tables like this one, an explanation as to what that, how that number is derived, which is it's a 3-year moving average, I think is what we heard, or a 4-year moving average, right? An asterisk in the table to add that information, I think would be very helpful. So that's detail on my amended motion.
Okay. Thank you. Jamie?
Is it possible as part of that description to actually include why numbers actually changed? I know he had mentioned, I think in 2016, they had made some ADA improvements and that's why there was a decrease in the numbers. So it might be helpful to actually have a little explanation as to why there was a decrease or an increase from one year to the next.
Okay, we have an amended motion. We had a motion from Maria, second by Kim. It was amended by Kim and Maria accepted it. So all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Say nay. Jim?
For the record, I only had Changjin was opposing. Did I hit that wrong?
No, CJ.
CJ.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes, I'm not sure why it's not. Well, it's hard to convince you guys that the moving average used as the target is inappropriate. It's easily, very easily biased by just one single extreme value in, occur in the past few years, and no matter how many years you're adapting. And also the possibility that can we also possible to look at the your peers transit agency of say the popular the similar population size, metropolitan area, which has the similar characteristics with to the Palm Beach County, and take that. If you want to do the only the temporal average, you might as well to incorporate the special across the countries, across your peers agency of the similar characteristics, the transit agency into consideration. That way you can come up with a more objective target, not as fluctuating, not as moving as the target. And that target would be more reliable to be used. I bet after post, prior to pandemic, during pandemic, post the pandemic, you can see this number even fluctuated because they are influenced by
Madam
a lot
Chair,
of factors.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was letting CJ talk to give my staff some background of why he dissented, but because the voting has taken place, there's no more discussion on this item.
I understand. Okay, CJ, we're going to move on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is informational items, performance measure dashboard. I'd like to invite Jason Price to the podium, TPA TIP coordinator, to present this item.
I don't see him. So I'll start with this though. You can bring it up until he jumps in. Okay, so this is the 2021 performance measures dashboard. A report card. And what I was mentioning from the past one is this is the time of the year that we're going to bring all our performance measures forward to report on. And if we do have to set new targets, we'd set them then. That's why we had an action item for the safety. And then this one is really just providing some update on the report and what you're seeing for the past trends. You want to go on?
My apologies. So So carrying on from the previous discussion, we were covering the performance measure report card, and that's what we have on our website that lists all of our performance metrics. What I'm going to do today is go over some of the highlights that you'll see on that performance measure dashboard. The first thing is, well, this is probably evident now. Why do we have performance measures? But as a federally funded agency, we're required to report and adopt the federal measures and targets. In addition to that, we reflect those measures and targets and adopt them in our 2045 long-range transportation plan. And with that, we also use them to track the TPA's vision of a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. And that's incorporated into our transportation improvement program, the 5-year TIP document. The TPA goals are preserve, safe, efficient, connected, and multimodal. And that's how all of the goals are structured in the scorecard that you'll see at the end of the presentation. I wanted to go over just some of the highlights that you'll see in that are reflected in the scorecard. And the first ones are for transit. PalmTran has introduced over 100 buses last year to address how many vehicles are exceeding their useful life. And with that, by introducing that number of vehicles on the roadway, they've reduced their last year target of, you know, their last year metric of 46.5% of cutaway buses. The buses you see on the roadway were exceeding their useful life. And by introducing all of these new buses from last year, they've gotten it down to 9.2%. And that's one of the most significant and highlights that you'll see throughout the numbers, throughout the few slides that I have. The other, and all of the rest of these metrics that you'll see are as a consequence of the coronavirus pandemic they've impacted travel throughout the county. So a lot of these numbers have either improved or gotten worse based on the level of traffic that you've seen on the roadways. One of the positive impacts is the environmental impacts, and that's daily fuel use per person or vehicles mile traveled. We've been reducing those numbers by way of not traveling as much due to the pandemic, either working remotely, a hybrid, or just not traveling as much. The other highlights that you'll see in the performance measure scorecard are travel time reliability on both the interstate and non-interstate. And you can see the most significant change here is on the interstate system has gone from 78% to 94% reliable, travel time reliability. And that's also due to just the reduction of travel of people probably commuting to work during those times. So you'll see a significant increase in reliability of the network. And there's a marginal increase that you see here for the non-interstate. And the same holds true for truck time reliability. There's still products to be delivered and truck traffic on the roadway, but it's increased when there's less vehicular traffic mixed with truck traffic. In terms of productivity for transit, as we've seen, as we've heard throughout this, through some of the discussion, transit was severely impacted by the coronavirus and they reduced their service, reduced the amount of passengers that were utilizing the bus. And so both Tri-Rail and PalmTrans suffered from passenger trips per revenue hour. And you can see that by the numbers here shown on the screen where they're not being as productive or efficient because of the ridership numbers slipping. And so lastly, what I was mentioning, if you want to find out more about all of the performance measures that we cover, they're on our website at palmbeachtpa.org/PM. When you go to this website, you'll see this is just a little cutout from when you go to that page, you'll see our scorecard. Our scorecard is laid out in a way of our goals. And the first goal is preserve. And this is just the first part you'll see is all of the metrics on the scorecard. You can click on any one of these, and through these measures, you can get more detailed information on how they're generated and what they're measuring and get more additional information. So with that, this is just an informational item. No vote is required. And if there's any other discussion.
Thank you, Jason. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, I'm looking around. I don't see any cards up. Do you have anyone with a raised hand on? Okay, thank you very much. Moving on, Florida Bicycle Month. TPA staff will provide an update on Florida Bicycle Month activities in March and encourage municipalities to adopt a Florida Bicycle Month proclamation to celebrate and support bicycling in their community. A sample proclamation is attached. The calendar of the Bicycle Month events is available at walkbikepalmbeach.org. I'd like to invite Alyssa Frank, TPA PED Bike Coordinator, to present this item.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see so many faces in here. I promise to deliver a relatively short presentation and get you guys out of here soon. So for those who are not familiar with it, March is Florida Bicycle Month, which is very exciting for us. It is a great month to get out there, get active, get riding, and just have fun. So I'm going to cover some of, you know, what we're doing to really advocate for that. We switch that slides. Thank you. So for those of you who have adopted proclamations in the past, thank you so much. We hope that we get to see you adopt another proclamation this year. We are also trying to exceed our goal. So last year we hit 13 proclamations in the county, which is very exciting. A lot of you might see your municipalities listed on the slide on the screen. We would love to get at least 15 this year. So if you do not see your name on here, your city on here, please reach out to me and I can send you a sample proclamation and we can get you guys on this list. We've also had quite a few activities throughout the month in past years. Some of these are West Palm Beach's Bike to Work Week, Village of Palm Springs Super Fun Day. Palm Beach County has various bike trail rodeos, et cetera, et cetera. If you guys are hosting any bicycle related activities, please let us know. We can update it, add it onto our online calendar of bicycle events. We can also advertise and share it on our social media to help you guys get more attendees as well. Please let me know if any activities going on in any of your cities, we would be more than happy to blast it out there. And for those of you who are not familiar with our Walk Bike Palm Beach website, we do have a full calendar on here of all of the bicycle, pedestrian safety activities, events that we host or are aware of. You do have the ability on the public facing side to go on here and add your events yourself or reach out to us. And I would be more than happy to add it on there for you. We do have this website. It is walkbikepalmbeach.org. You can also access it by going to our regular website, palmbeachtpa.org, and then /walkbike. So we are going to, similar to last year, host another webinar series in March. The first is going to just be a general overview of safe bicycling, covering ABC checks, where to ride, how to ride, the laws, all of that. That is going to be held on Thursday, March 3rd. On Wednesday, March 9th, we are actually going to be working with our partners, the Dutch Cycling Embassy, to get a webinar hosted by them. And this is going to be on building a cycling city off of the book by Chris Bruntlett. This is going to be a fantastic session. And then lastly, but not least, on Tuesday, March 15th, we are going to be working with Decisio, which is a data collection and economics really firm out of Europe and Italy. And we are going to be talking about bikeonomics. So how bicycling and the bicycling infrastructure really relates and can help boost the economy for communities that implement that. So we do have all of this available online. We will be sharing it on social media as well. But if you are interested in registering for this, the link is available on our website. And again, any questions, please reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to share any information. Lastly, but not least, we do have our annual TPA ride. This will actually coincide with West Palm Beach's Bike to Work Week. We will have our ride on Friday, March 11th. We are going to meet at our office around 7:30, 7:45, sign in, make sure that we have helmets, safety gear, ready to ride, ABC checks, all of that. And then we are going to have our kickstands up at 8 a.m. and start riding. This is about 3.5 mile ride. It should take about 30 minutes. It is, it stays within downtown West Palm Beach and actually highlights quite a few destinations. So we hope that all of you can join us and share this so we can have more attendees than last year. And again, any questions on this, please let me know. And with that, that is the end of my presentation. Again, we really would love to see more activities, proclamations this year in Palm Beach County in honor of Florida Bicycle Month. And if anyone has any questions, concerns, needs help on language for a proclamation, please reach out to me. And like I said, I would be more than happy to help out. Thank you.
Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, I don't see any cards raised in the room. So we'll move on to administrative items. Items 4A through 4C are informational items only.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I missed Alex. Had his.
I'm so sorry, Alex.
Sorry, it's okay. Just a quick side note, and we in West Palm Beach have been coordinated with Alisa and the TPO and the TPA on some of the Bike to Work Week activities for the city. I just want to mention we are already scheduled to go for a proclamation in front of the City Commission on February 22nd. So we should have our proclamation approved on that day, just as a quick note.
Thank you. Sorry, Alex. Thank you. Okay, items 4A through 4C under administrative items are informational items only. There will be no staff presentation unless requested by a committee member.
Madam Chair, I will note an item. This year was actually different with your meeting dates. the board actually adopted this during their consent agenda in December. So if you do want a revision to your dates, it would need to go back before the board for a revision. I will also note that during our October meetings, you'll see that your dates have changed. And my staff did send out a calendar invite to hold it. We moved the dates to accommodate the Jewish holidays in October.
Okay, thank you. So our next meeting is March 2nd, 2022. At this time, our committee meeting is adjourned.